Welcome back, y'all. Welcome back to the Breakthrough Podcast, Discovering New Pathways. My name is Omar Muhammad, helping you improve and progress in business and in life. And we have the co-host over there, Leon Robinson the Fourth. Hey, Leon, welcome back.
Hey, man. Pleasure to be back. Looking forward to our guest today and our session today. And excited.
All right, good deal. All right, so let me, before we get to our guests, you know, as you know, we always have a guest on board. But before we get there, to listen to past episode of the Breakthrough Podcast, you can find us on EDAC, that's edacmorgan.com. Click on the RIDE program and you'll have an opportunity to see that. We're also on Instagram at RIDE Small Biz. That's RIDE Small Biz. So when you go into the website, you'll see some of the activities that we're doing, including this podcast that we have. We have a entrepreneurship boot camp. We have an association, or we call it an association, but it's really a chamber, a chamber of commerce. There we go. We really have that. And we're gearing up for our annual event, which will take place in August. So we welcome you to participate in that as well. So without further ado, I forgot to say this. The Breakthrough Podcast is brought to you by the Minority Business Development Agency, which is part of the Department of Commerce in Washington, D.C. And of course, EDAC, the Entrepreneurial Development and Assistance Center at Oregon State University. So without further ado, I want to bring to the Zoom world, if you will, if those who are listening to the audio, Monica Cooper. And Monica is the founder and CEO of the Merlin Justice Project. So Monica, welcome to the Breakthrough Podcast. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for having me.
All right, good deal. So we always ask the question, how long have you been home? And then after returning home, what were your plans?
I've been home, I guess, a little over a decade.
Okay.
And my plans when I returned home were to go to college and at least get a bachelor's degree, because I felt like, you know, with a checkered past, I needed to be marketable. So I went to school and I earned a bachelor's of science in human services. So I do have my bachelor's degree. I kind of wish I would have kept going. Could have had a PhD degree, but it's still not too late.
That's not too late, absolutely. You know, so what inspired you to go into entrepreneurship?
I think being a African-American woman and knowing, you know, some, you know, history about our sojourn here and seeing how people make decisions for us and what impacts our lives because they have money and power. The folks with money and power are the ones who are pretty much calling the shot. I believe in our legislative leaders. I am myself an elected official and I'm running for re-election.
Congrats, yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm running for a Democratic State Central Committee in the 40th District. Mm-hmm. I was elected by the voters of Baltimore in 2018, and I'm going to run for re-election again. And I like I said, I believe in our elected officials, you know, some of them, keeping it real. And but I realized that it is really the folks who control the Capitol that really controls how things go on and how things are impacting society.
Miss Monica, please.
Say it again.
I said, can you say that again?
Oh yeah, sure, I can repeat that. I said that it's the folks who control the Capitol that's really making the decisions, whether they be policies, laws, or whatever, that's impacting everybody's lives every day.
Yeah.
So even though I fight the good fight and I try to be a good leader and an effective leader, I know that at the end of the day, the people with the money are controlling this thing. So I decided, well, you know what? I've been here long enough. my forefathers been here long enough. It's time for us to take control over the music industry that everybody's getting rich off of, that we produce, the theater, basketball court, everywhere you go. I want to see a Rich Paul, because unfortunately, the folks in this country wouldn't have what they have if it wasn't for slavery and if it wasn't for our talent and our treasures. Just the other day, I'm watching some Asian women dancing to James Brown, and on TikTok, they got like a trillion views. I'm not impressed, because when James Brown was in the world, they hated him. So for me, it's time for us. Everything that they say that came from a Black person, we should get paid. I'm telling you, everything that they put in the Urban Dictionary, everything that we produce, whether it be a dance, whether it's food, a slogan, a saying, we should get paid for it. I was once told that the only thing white folks created was the patent office.
Deep. And it's true to that. It's true to that. Our influence, you know, in every area, you know, has been exploited, and we all know that, you know. And now it's just a matter of us gaining more knowledge of that, awareness of it, and coming together and doing what we're doing here, creating platforms and battery. You know? So that's the only way we're gonna make it out. Unless you keep going.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Monica, let's dive into, you know, what you're doing entrepreneurial. So what are you doing entrepreneurial?
Well, right now it's in its infancy. I am trying to get this solar energy company off of the ground. I got like 8 other investors that look like me, and we all put our money together and we invested in a solar company called We Solar. A young lady named Crystal Hemsley, young, she know the industry inside and out. We were able to come in at the ground level and invest, you know, some monies. And at the same time, we over here started a company called Soul Energy, because this is yet another industry that's get ready to come online. And in Furman L. Templeton and all the schools in on Pennsylvania Avenue and in West Baltimore and all over in poor neighborhoods and, you know, low income neighborhoods, they not teaching them about the electric cars. They not teaching them about those green jobs. They're not teaching them about those robots that's going to be making our hamburgers. They're not teaching them about robotics and how to create a job. One thing about us, we resourceful. Give us a drone, teach us how to fly, and we will create a job for ourselves. So keeping that knowledge from us holds us back. So my objective is to build this Fortune 500 company from the ground up and take all the Black folks that's ready to go with me. And I don't mince words, and I don't, you know. This thing probably would consider me nationalist, a Black nationalist, or if they would consider me reincarnation of Malcolm X. And for those that are listening, I want you to hear straight from me. I don't care. One of the other reasons I forgot why I am pursuing an entrepreneurship life is because I want to be free. And economics give you a sense of freedom. I want to be free to say what I want to say, when I want to say it. I want to be free and not beholden to a bank or to somebody that's going to come to me and say, yeah, we saw you in a press conference. So-and-so was offended by what you said. Or you shouldn't say that. And now that you said that, we're going to counsel you.
Right.
I'm not going to be counseled no more. Not me and not the people that I'm around, not the company that I built. My hand going to be in that, and my people hand going to be in that. So you don't have anything to say to us. You won't even be, matter of fact, most people won't even be invited in the door, to be honest with you. So, that's just keeping it 100 is that capitalism and building your wealth and having your wealth allows you to be free. You know what I'm saying? There's more to money than there's more to money than, you know, in this life. But when you do have that capital and that freedom, you don't have to hold your tongue like my grandmother used to have to do. Mm-hmm. Oh, hush up, Gail. Mind your business. Mm-hmm. Don't mind your business. Just turn away. Don't look at it. And we're not living in them days no more. Right. So the opportunity for me to have a sense of freedom is what I'm halfway broke and I'm free. So you know what it'll be like when I get some money.
I hear you. So Monica, let's kind of we'll come back to the entrepreneurship piece. So Maryland Justice Project, tell us about what that is.
Maryland Justice Project is a nonprofit that works with women and girls incarcerated and formerly incarcerated. For 90 days of the year, we are in Annapolis and we're trying to push legislation that would help women and girls coming out of incarceration to be more successful. And we're trying to do some preventive measures as well to keep our young girls from making those same mistakes and filling up those prisons so that, you know, people can build their wealth. Another way that people are building wealth off of the backs of Black and brown people.
So this was started. When was this started?
The Maryland Justice Project, we started in 2013.
Okay.
Wow. Coming up in 10 years. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, we still here. You know that 5-year period. I read a book once, it's about like in the 90s, that said that most businesses fail at your first attempt. If you can make it past 5 years, you're doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Statistically as well, facts.
Yeah. You know, so you mentioned something that's interesting, that the legislative process, you know, entrepreneurs tend to not participate in the legislative process. You know, so you're there and are you teaching the young girls and the women about the legislative process, or what exactly is the Maryland Justice Project? You know, what are the services or products that you offer? And then what's the website so people can tune into the website right now while
it's under construction, but it is MarylandJusticeProject.org. It's under construction now. We're trying to really get it popping because that's one of those things that bring traffic to your business. You know, absolutely. A certain level of professionalism, to dress the part, to look the part, and to have that website is one of those things that will definitely allow people who look and say, yeah, these people are about business. Yeah. Everything you do in business speak volumes to you. Yeah. If you're sloppy with it, you got a business card and you can't really see it, understand it, learn it, word small. But if you got a business card that's unique, that's people look at it, every little thing attracts people. I think a business, and not to get sidetracked, I think a business like our 5 faculties, hearing, seeing, smelling, touching, all of those things play into the psyche of the consumer. It plays into the psyche of people, what I'm going to read. If you got something that really sticks out to them, it could be several words, could be some new words or language that people start to use. It could be the latest language. And that's something that attract people. So we definitely going to get our website up and running. But I think about business and how you have to think about the psychological aspect of the consumer and the people who will be consuming your products. I actually worked for Walmart early on when I came home. And one of the things that Walmart would do is they would have us bake cinnamon bread the first thing in the morning, certain times a day, when they thought that people were coming in, because the smell of cinnamon made people hungry. It made you want something good to eat. And during Easter time, they would put their pastel colors in certain places to attract the buyer.
Marketing.
So Walmart definitely understands the psyche of the consumer. But besides that, some of the services we offer is we help people with housing. We just got 17 women and a few guys. We just got them all a place of their own.
Congrats, yeah.
We just got them all a place of their own. We're working on getting some people to donate some furniture. We're working on getting a truck to pick some things up. And I mean, these are women who are returning to the community and been through something. One of the women been home for probably maybe 6 months to a year, but she was down for 24 years. Mm. And just before she came home, her 26-year-old daughter was murdered.
Oh, wow.
So now she's got her two grandchildren. Mm. And imagine what a blessing that was for her to be able to take care of her grandchildren and provide them with a safe, healthy environment. So we're doing everything we can. We might link up with Vehicles for Change to try to help her with a car. We're doing everything that we can to help her to succeed. We're doing everything we can. And the difference is that they say those closest to the problem are closest to the solution. But I don't think that some of our elected officials understand that when they're giving that money out.
Yeah.
I try to get the attention of our mayor, and they're giving away this $641 million. And they generally be giving it to, maybe their cousins or uncles or somebody. They're generally giving it to folks who are not close to the problem, you know, because they look at, you know, these people, some of these folks have gone to school and have a master's degree in nonprofit management. Some of them might have a PhD degree here. And when you look at their websites, it's popping. And that infrastructure is strong, but they don't have the solution to the problem. So rather than our leaders invest in folks who they know on the ground, you can't turn on the news and not see me. You cannot Google my name right now and see everything that I've done. I pop up first. It's a search engine. and because I don't have that business background, and because I also have things that I contend with in my own life. We doing the work, but we part of the work. I'm part of the work, but I might've had to go to see my probation officer. I'm part of the work and part of the solution, but I might have to get me some energy assistance because I'm not able to make that big salary. But I'm doing the work. And I'm also a part of the system. And rather than them invest in organizations like mine, where you can assign a mentor or where you can pay a consultant to actually help with all of those things, they'd rather keep giving the money to people who are really in it for the money and collecting $200,000 salaries while they get our babies to check off. Yeah, they was here, we gave them breakfast, we gave them dinner, and they leave the program, still don't have no GED, still don't have a place to live, and still ass out.
Well, you know, that's definitely, we see that as well. You know, we definitely need to change that dynamic. You know, one of the things that, you know, just by having this podcast, I mean, I think we've done, we're up to about 40 of these now. And just by having this podcast, we're meeting different individuals, whether they're entrepreneurs who are formerly incarcerated individuals who are now entrepreneurs, or resource providers like yourself. Well, you're kind of both, you know, so we're now connecting individuals to individuals so that we can really begin to have an impact in this work that we're doing around working with those individuals who are formerly incarcerated. So, you know, kudos to what, you know, you're doing with, you know, the Maryland Justice Project. And you're now focusing on not just having that nonprofit, but now how do I incorporate a for-profit that can really help with the nonprofit? Was that your strategy all along, Monica?
It actually was to actually do the work, because I believe that this work is a calling. Because you generally don't make a whole lot of money doing this nonprofit work. You got to get up every day and you got to fight for this piece of pie, you and 300 other people. And by the time they slice the pie up, you walk around with 20,000 They got 20,000, they got 20,000. And it's just insane how you have to constantly go after, you know, the funding and stuff. And that gets kind of tiresome sometimes. So a lot of this money, in my first 5 years, I was doing this out of my own pocket.
Yeah, and I feel like it got to be more of us that's willing to do that, to contribute to the cause and actually utilize their own resources, you know, whether it's finances, whether it's time, whether it's, you know, whatever can be leveraged to help the cause. I think what you're doing, Ms. Monica, is awesome, and I applaud it, and I want to support in any way. You know, I know you spoke on the solar venture. I do residential and commercial real estate, and you have the housing program. So we could definitely talk and see how we can collaborate and how I can contribute to help push, you know, your organization forward. I wanted to mention that, and I did have a question in regards to, like, you know, our podcast is called the Breakthrough Podcast, Discovering New Pathways. You've mentioned a lot about your entrepreneurship ventures, your passion, your purpose. Are you able to share a little bit about your breakthrough, you know, and what really helped change your mentality and put you in this path that you're on right now?
I think that when the person's like me and they come from the streets and they, you know, been out there hustling and they, you know, paying rent, got 2 and 3 cars, got a house here, a house there. I think that that becomes like a crutch because you know how to get some money. So if you go to a job and they turn you down, you be like, oh, and ain't no problem. Let me go and get me a pack. I'm going to go in and flip that.
Yeah, hustler's mentality.
And I'm going to get me another pack and I'm going to get me another pack and I can build it. Like, that actually comes easier for me. That's easy for me to do. And to be honest with you, I ain't got a whole bunch of money in my pocket, but for some reason, I never worried about no money. If I got $1,000 a day, most likely more, I have $100,000 and I share it and spend it. I'm going to be a little more responsible though. I got to. Because I come from the street and I know how to feed myself. I know how to eat. I know how to feed myself. So I had, when I came home, I wrote my judge and I begged her to help me. I wasn't able to find a job. I had so many doors shut and I was crying. And I said, God, why are you doing this to me? I was messed up. I was so hurt because I know that I was earnestly trying to live a different life. So I would cry and just, it was tough. It was tough, you know, but when I wrote her and I was home, I wrote her and I told her, I said, please help me before I end up doing the same things that I used to do out there in the street. And I assured her, if you don't help me, I'm going to be out there selling that shit, period. And just keep me. I told her that straight. And I would tell her, if you don't help me and if I don't get no job, this is what I'm going to do. Bottom line. So I eventually found myself a little work and I just kept on trying and just got away from that. She never wrote me back.
Right.
That was my breakthrough, just knowing that I wanted to do something different. And it actually happened while I was behind a wall. Because rehabilitation don't happen when you out here.
Or happen when you in there, yeah.
It happens when you in there. And you
it should anyway. But it, you know,
some, because yeah. I could get, you know, people can get just as high in prison if they could get out here.
Right.
They have access to a lot of stuff that they would have access to here. But if you've changed and you decided that you don't want that life no more, you're gonna walk away from the stuff. So the change happens when you are inside. You know, when you people try to diagnose young kids are saying they got obedience issues or they don't like to listen to authority and stuff like that. And I felt like I did grow up. I didn't like to listen to people. I always wanted to do things my way. I always had to have the last word. It was my way or the highway. I had that mentality as a little kid. So while I was on the inside, I got rid of that mentality. And I learned how to listen to people that was in authority, even if I disagreed with them. I had to learn how to respect that. They wrong is 2 left shoes, but I'd be like, all right, yes, ma'am. So I learned to be humble while I was on the inside, I learned to respect authority while I was on the inside. And I learned to just roll with the punches, and all of that happened while I was on the inside. So when I got home, I am a Phi Theta Kappa person. That's been, yeah, Phi Theta Kappa. That's the honor society. You get that when you're in community college, but you got to be on the ball. And I mean, I was scholastic all the way. GPA was through the roof. And it's been an honor, and it's always an honor to even mention that I'm a part of the Phi Theta Kappa team, you know. I had gotten a Presidential Wilson Scholarship. And when I got to the University of Baltimore, I was, you know, the white woman was sitting on the other side of the table, and she looked at me. She was like, I see you got a Presidential Wilson Scholarship. I said, indeed I do. Yeah, because only five people in the whole school were able to earn that scholarship. And that's how I ended up at the University of Baltimore. But grades are getting good. Awesome. Grades became important to me. Things right. that were once not important to me now became important. I was always a person of integrity, but my integrity even grew even more. So all of that stuff again happened while I was behind the wall, not when I, you know what I'm saying? They ain't got a whole bunch of program. It has to be something that the individual have to make a decision about.
Right. You know what, Ms. Monica, it's something that you said, you know, about your breakthrough in regards to like your change happening inside and, you know, you changing your attitude, your mentality about everything, your plans and goals. You know, when you say it happened inside, my instant thought was, yeah, physically it happened inside, but a lot of change happened internally within you, you know, and that's what basically allowed you to really grow and change just completely who you were before, you know, and I just thought that I should mention that because a lot of our change, if we want to see things different in our life in the physical, it has to happen inside. It just so happened that you being incarcerated, it happened while you were incarcerated. But whoever's listening to this, we are going to go through some sort of battles, but you got to fix that internally within yourself first in order for your life to change. And that's just what I tip from, you know, your feedback and thoughts on, you know, your breakthrough.
Yeah, that's a good analysis, because there's some people who have never been physically away from their family and behind a wall, and they don't have a bachelor's degree. They not making $60,000 a year. They haven't, you know, moved yet, because sometimes we are incarcerated and locked down in our own, within ourselves. You gotta free yourself. You know, like they say, if you free your mind, the rest will follow. So it's just a matter of unlocking that thing right here. And people can accomplish a whole lot, you know?
Absolutely. So Monica, as we are, you know, going to come into a close, you are a nonprofit organization. And, you know, I'm always asking nonprofit organizations, what are some of the needs that you have? So just tell the listening audience and the viewers here on this platform, you know, what are some of the things that you need to move the Maryland Justice Project forward?
Well, some of the things that we need right now is, I always like to remind people that the nonprofit is not for profit, but because we have got this nonprofit industrial complex now, there are nonprofits that's got $5 million budgets. Yeah. And, you know, because of who I am, I feel like we need more volunteers in the nonprofit sector. We don't have to keep raising all this money for salaries. When you already have a retired computer analysis that can come and help me when I go to Penn North and give those people computer classes. Mm. Or when I go to different places, they can come and volunteer for 3 hours a week, an hour a week, so that we can get our people computer literate. They're being left behind. We got to keep on moving forward with these new technologies. And folks are comfortable with people who remind them of them, that look like them, that can communicate with them. You know, But I need that type of help where somebody would come and help us, you know, with our computer class that we have now. Okay. I need people who are willing to come in and volunteer that used to be a case manager mm-hmm. to come in and volunteer and help women navigate through these systems and whatnot. So if I had a wish list, I would ask folks to sign up for the Maryland Justice Project. And I'm gonna give you my email address too, because like I said, our website is under construction. My email address is Monica, M-O-N-I-C-A, at MarylandJusticeProject.org. And that's all written out. Monica at MarylandJusticeProject.org. And anybody in the listening public or the viewing public that want to lend a hand, we definitely could use the help. Definitely. We put the not-for-profit in it, believe me. We're on the shooting.
I hear you.
A lot of work done. And that's how it should be. Like I said, we're not over here trying to have a $5 million budget. We over here to work ourselves out of business.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need a whole bunch of nonprofits keep propping up and springing up. If you keep seeing nonprofits popping, that means that we're not getting it right. We need to work ourselves out of business. Yeah. That should be about that.
Absolutely.
Right, because the money that the nonprofit's getting in the budget, the money's not being allocated to the right resources in the program.
Yeah.
So it's like y'all getting all this grant money and donation money, but it's not making a change in our community. There's no, what is the impact and outcome?
Right.
Like, we're just having the same conversations. You know, nobody's really putting in the work.
Absolutely.
That's a problem.
It's a big problem. It's a big problem. And we're going to chop it down one bit at a time. So Monica, really appreciate you for coming on to the Breakthrough Podcast. Again, that's Monica Cooper of the Maryland Justice Program, project. And you can follow her at email again, via email again.
Monica at MarylandJusticeProject.org. And Maryland is written out, M-A-R-Y-L-A. Everything is written straight out. And it's been a pleasure to share my lunch hour with you guys.
We definitely appreciate it, and we definitely
always got willing to, always willing to come back. I'm going after some MBEs and get myself, established. I'm going to the Black Chamber of Commerce. I'm going to get and do things the right way. That's the other thing with businesses, that you gotta dot your I's and cross your T's, make sure all your contracts are filled out accurately in the whole nine. So I'm in the process of doing it. I'm actually getting ready to come and join a ride program.
Yeah, come on. Come on, take that ride with us.
Yeah, I'm going to be one of your shining students.
Oh, yeah, come on over, because you're going to bring a lot of value. Definitely got a lot in you.
I definitely have been thinking about signing up for the ride program for sure.
Yeah, come on. Yeah,
don't
come
even
on
think about it. Don't even think about it. Just go ahead and sign up.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Monica, for coming on board. Any final thoughts, Leon? All right, no final thoughts. We're gonna leave.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Leon.
Oh no. What did you say?
Any final thoughts?
Yeah. Final thoughts is, everybody go and support, Miss Monica Cooper. She shared her email address, she shared her business venture and goal and vision. Let's all support. We need all hands on deck to make some changes out here. So that's my final thoughts, and until next time.
All right, until next time, thank you for tuning in. And until next time, continue discovering new pathways. I'm Omar Muhammad, helping you improve and progress in business and in life. We'll see you next month. Peace. This is Mixed Map Production.